5:07 in the Fast Lane. Time check brought to you by Clarkson Jewelers, an officially licensed Rolex jeweler. And that's Chris Michelson, the head coach of the Seattle Mist football team in the Legends Football League, formerly the Lingerie Football League. He's been terrorizing LFL officials for over 6 years now, and he was at it again this past week.
He's got to get past the line of scrimmage. No, you know that's intentional grounding. You know, God damn.
There is no intentional grounding in this league. Read the fucking rule.
I'll email you the rule book. Don't worry.
No, I got
email
it in the
it
locker room.
Good. We'll check it out.
I'll bet you a beer.
We'll check it out.
I'll bet you a beer.
We'll check it
out. I'll bet
you a
beer.
I got a case on it.
So do I.
I got a case.
I'll guarantee you.
I love the intensity.
Yeah, it's just.
I'll go with that. And who would, and maybe he's right. Maybe he's right on all these rules. Maybe he knows the game inside out. Who would have thought that the Legends Football League, Lingerie Football, wouldn't have the best officials around?
Who'd have thought,
you know?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know he was going to get that worked up about it.
I didn't either.
I've seen this dude before, I think, right? Just, isn't he the one who's kind of, I don't want to say famous, because I didn't know his name until just now, but... Isn't he the dude that is constantly just yelling at his players? And I mean, like, in their faces all the time?
I think so,
I've
yeah.
seen videos of this
yeah.
dude.
Guy's fantastic.
He is nuts.
Nevada Highway Patrol Trooper Travis Smacka was stunned when he pulled over a hearse that was driving in the carpool lane on Monday, and the driver asked if the corpse he was transporting counted as a passenger. He spotted the Chrysler minivan hearse going southbound in the HOV lane on I-15. Driver appeared to be alone, but that was because Smacka was not counting the dearly departed in the back. As Nevada Highway Patrol Southern Command later explained on Twitter, they said, "Today we stopped a local funeral home hearse in the HOV lane. The driver had the dearly departed in the back. He thought the deceased could be counted as two people. Take it or leave it. The deceased should be counted as a person in the HOV
Take
lane.
It is still a person. It's just a dead one.
Yeah. I'm absolutely taking it. And I think that was an ingenious way for this driver to get his person where he was trying to get him.
The Nevada Highway Patrol did go on to tweet, "I guess we should clarify this. Living, breathing people count for the HOV lane. The driver was only given a warning."
Okay. Looked
for a loophole, and very nice that he was only given a warning. I think that is smart. All right, we all know who the starting quarterback for the Packers is, right?
Yes.
Aaron Rodgers is going to be the guy. Well, they will have a little competition for their backup. It's going to be DeShone Kizer.
Hefty lefty?
No. Whoa.
What?
A little soon.
I'm really sorry
Too
about
soon.
That.
Too soon. Jared Lorenzen passed away today.
He did.
38 years old.
With a heavy heart. His Son family.
They did say that, which seems like a little...
It's too much.
Yep.
Tim Boyle is the other guy. DeShone Kizer, though, was asked about it, and he said, "Look, I'm not limiting myself to being a backup. Take it or leave it. DeShone Kizer should limit himself to being a backup."
Take it.
I'm going to take that
Just
as
be
well.
Happy about it.
You are there. You've got the best gig in the world behind Aaron Rodgers. You do your thing.
It's a well-paid position.
It's a great position. Do that.
Yeah, you're not getting your brains beat in. That's awesome. And if the guy in front of you starts playing like crap, then everybody loves you. So this tweet yesterday from our friend of the show, Ryan Spader, who is excellent with baseball statistics, he says nearly 220,000 games in Major League Baseball history, and on July 2nd, 2019, we have the first ever of this. The Dodgers are the first team in the history of the game to walk off a game on 5 straight walks when they were down to their final out. So they're down to their final out, and they end up winning the game because of those 5 straight walks. Take it or leave it, you're surprised to find out that's the first time that has ever happened.
I leave it.
Yeah, leave it. That's a lot. I hope it's the last time we see it. That's not a great way to end a
game.
That
is a terrible way, if you're on the wrong end of it, to lose a ball game.
It is kind of crazy, though, that we keep seeing new stuff.
I mean, all the games that have happened in baseball, all the strange things that can happen, and I know there's always that cliche that, you know, you're going to see something you've never seen before when you go to the ballpark, but I'm still a little surprised by that.
Big Sis, what do you got for us?
Take it or leave it. If the Cardinals make deadline moves and still don't make the playoffs, the front office should pay the ultimate price.
Death?
The ultimate price.
Gosh. I'm gonna leave that.
I feel like that's harsh.
Leave it Serious? As well.
Yeah.
That's a bit too much.
Nobody deserves to die because the Cardinals are not winning.
From now until we return on Monday, take it or leave it, you will have at least 4 hot dogs.
Leave it.
I'm going to leave it as well.
Maybe one.
I don't know what's going to be on the grill, but yeah, I'll have a couple, probably. 4 is probably too many.
And take it or leave it, if the Cardinals don't make the playoffs this year, just wait longer.
Take it.
Yeah, I'll take that.
What else are you going to do? We can whine and complain, which I'm sure there will be plenty of that, but just wait longer.
If I'm not back in 5 minutes, just wait longer.
Thanks, Big Sis.
Thank you.
And thanks for your text to the Hot Shots text line 65780. Next up, we're going to catch up with our buddy and lead MLB Network host, Greg Amzinger. He is next on 101 ESPN. Amzinger! Greg will be part of MLB Network's extensive All-Star Game coverage in Cleveland, including his call of the SiriusXM All-Star Futures Game on Sunday at 6 p.m. And Greg will join us in just a moment here on 101 ESPN. A lot going on, and he's been busy with MLB Network and everything that they've got going on. They cover every team in Major League Baseball, all 30 of them, even if your team is 41-42 and you aren't that compelling or that exciting. Greg and the crew at MLB Network will make sure that your team is covered. And Greg,
were you talking about any team specifically when you said not that compelling, Randy?
No.
I feel like you're trolling a tiny bit.
Tiny bit.
All right, fair enough.
Greg is with us on the Brown and Crouppen Celebrity Line on 101 ESPN. How you doing?
I'm doing well, gentlemen. How are things?
Everything's good, except we don't like mediocre. We like really good or really bad, but we don't like mediocre.
No, I'm all for that idea, and I've been harsh on Cardinal fans in years past when they're disgruntled because they're not winning the World Series every year. I see lofty expectations, and I get it. Under 500 doesn't sit well with me. I'm still a Cardinal fan. I'm not used to this. This, at the moment, means that month of September, if they keep playing this way, we won't see meaningful baseball games in the month of September, and that is what is the heartbeat of the Cardinal Nation. Every year, there are meaningful baseball games to be played in the month of September. The way this team's playing right now, I don't know if that's going to happen. So John Mozeliak is at a crossroads, and this is a very unique set of circumstances. He needs to go to bed and thank his lucky stars that the division's so bad that he's still 3.5 games out of first place, even though he's one game under 500.
And Greg, to me, that's the craziest thing is, like, I don't even know personally, and I'm just trying to, like, talking as a Cardinal fan, I don't even know what I want them to do, because everybody's talking about the trade deadline. We all know there's only one deadline this year. But if they're playing like this, do I care if they go out and add a starting pitcher? Because if Goldschmidt doesn't do what he's supposed to do, if Ozuna can't come back and he's healthy, if Carpenter can't look like the Carpenter he's supposed to be, this team can't win anyhow. I just wonder where the balance is of sacrificing any future you have or adding a guy. It's just a weird position they find themselves in.
And that's a great point. Can this team win the World Series right now? That's
no.
You have to ask yourself. No. If you look at the best teams in baseball, how do the Cardinals stack up? The Astros, the Dodgers, and let's say the Braves are going to probably get another starting pitcher to go along with Dallas Keuchel and the rest of those young studs. And then you've got the New York Yankees in the AL East. They're not going to win the World Series. So what you might see is a team eerily similar to a couple years ago when the New York Yankees traded away Aroldis Chapman and got Gleyber Torres, and they actually played even better after trading pieces away, and they have multiple pieces. It looked like they were like selling, complete selling, and they almost got into the postseason. So we might see the Cardinals in that light. I think the Cardinals might just commit to young guys. You know, what if they traded Marcelo Zuna, who's a rental? What if they trade him? That means O'Neill is going to play every day. Does that mean the Cardinals are waving the white flag and they're not going to be able to get into the wild card game? No, I kind of see the trade deadline in a different light than ever before. Because of free agency being such a scary thing, and you're not going to have a surplus of talent due to all the extensions that have been signed, you're going to see teams use this one opportunity to trade because the waiver deadline is gone. So you're going to have this trade deadline to construct a roster, not just for 2019, but for 2020, 2021. So you'll see teams a la the Tampa Bay Rays, who are always ahead of the curve, trading away Chris Archer, selling, quote-unquote, but getting two guys back in Meadows and Glass now that clearly are centerpieces of their franchise. Oh, wait a minute. They're also buying Tommy Pham at the same trade deadline. So you're going to see teams like that that might not be in the postseason mix, but yet they're buyers because this is a unique trade deadline than any we've ever seen before. The Cardinals find themselves in that gray area, and John Mozeliak, when he trades some pieces away, which I think he's going to do, he's going to have to sell it to the fan base that we're still trying to be competitive and we're still trying to make the postseason in 2019.
based on what they did during the offseason, the acquisition of Goldschmidt is a good one. And I know he's not performing the way he normally does now, but I still liked it. I think it was universally liked, which it should have been. But the way they are playing right now, I think we're all in agreement that to some degree they are underperforming. I guess we can debate how much they are underperforming expectations. What do you think that level of underperformance is? How much better should they be right now?
I mean, let's be honest. Jose Martinez's .285 batting average is the best on the team. I mean, that's not good. And I think if you take at-bats into consideration, regular players, Yadi's .261 average leads the pack of the regulars that play every day. This team's not hitting. That's the most disappointing. Up and down the lineup, especially when you saw the Cardinals the first month of the season, I was like, whoa, Colton Wong looks like he's locked in this year. This is going to be his year. Once again, we said that. Don't worry, Matt Carpenter, just like last year, got off, had a cold spell, but he's going to carry this team on his back. Man, I can't wait to see Harrison Bader play 150 games. He's going to tear the cover off the ball, and his defense is going to be amazing. Man, I love the fact that Yadi Molina is getting older, but he's still productive. It's good to have Matt Wieters as a backup. Dexter Fowler is eventually going to snap out of it. All of these guys are underwhelming, and that is – Marcelo Ozuna is by far the most valuable guy on this team. While Paul DeJong is an all-star, they had to have somebody from this team. You can make a case for other shortstops who are deserving. So it's an underwhelming offensive team. The pitching is a unique set of circumstances. I don't think the pitching is as bad as people in St. Louis are saying it is. Flaherty is so freaking young. You're talking about a 23, 24-year-old guy. The sky's the limit. You're putting a lot on the plate of a Hudson, of a Flaherty. These guys are only going to get better. I think the rotation, there's more talent there. The ceiling's high. The bullpen should have been better with the names that are back there. It should have been better. But the most glaring failure is this team's inability to consistently hit. And that's what I don't think any of us saw coming.
Greg Amsinger, MLB Network, with us in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. And Greg will have the call for the SiriusXM All-Star Futures game Sunday at Progressive Field in Cleveland. That's at 6 o'clock St. Louis time. Greg, if you can pick out one or two guys that you're really excited about seeing in the Futures game, who do you got?
Luis Robert. Write the name down.
When Cardinals should sign.
I know the name.
I love this.
That was my dude.
This guy is a bigger version of Eloy Jimenez. Like, he's a freak. This dude does everything. And he's in the same farm system. Chicago White Sox are going to have two pillars in their corners of their outfield. They're going to be this team, by stock in the Chicago White Sox, by stock in the San Diego Padres. I hope Brendan McKay is back in the minor league so he can actually play in the Futures game. Currently, he is on the roster. This is a kid that's committed to being a two-way guy. And he got the chance to pitch the other night and threw six scoreless. He carried a perfect game into the sixth inning. A left-handed pitcher. To me, his comp as a pitcher is John Lester. And then he's a DH, and I like his swing. It's not Shohei Ohtani. Ohtani's got insane athleticism, but this kid can do both. He was a superstar at the University of Louisville. He was there. I mean, he's like a legend there. What Tim Tebow is to Florida football, that's what Brendan McKay is to the University of Louisville. So many young players. I can't wait to see all of them. But if I was like, I'm going to call the game. I'm going to really hone in on McKay and Robert. I think those two guys could be superstars in our sport.
It is. I love watching the Futures game. Greg, I feel like a lot of people look at him like, oh, okay, well, that's cute. There's something going on. This game, first of all, it's intense because these guys are on a stage that maybe they haven't had the opportunity to be on before. And as you just mentioned, some of these guys are in the big leagues. These guys, I mean, these are going to be the cornerstones of rosters in the next couple of years. There is so much talent at this game.
I don't understand people that say they're baseball fans that don't watch this game. It's the future of the sport. And you should look and see if there are any players wearing your favorite team's logo, because that guy is a significant piece of where your organization is heading. It is the foundation of the sport. Look at the greats that have played in this Futures game. I mean, from Trout to Harper, name your guy, they've all been in it. So You're looking for the next star of the game. You got to watch 7 p.m. Eastern, Sunday night. I'll be in the booth with Harold Reynolds. Jim Callis knows all of these guys front and back. Heidi Watney will be down on the field talking to him. The other cool aspect of this game is we meet with all of them, and we encourage them to cut it up and show their personality. It's an opportunity for America to get to know who they are. And a lot of these kids are wearing microphones, and the access is insane. Jim Thome, my homie Jim Thome, who I work with here at MLB Network, he's a manager of the American League squad. Dennis Martinez, the longtime pitcher, is a manager of the National League squad. And they're mic'd up. They're chatting with us. Sean Casey is the hitting coach for the American League squad. It's a fun back and forth with access you just don't see in any other normal regular season game. And we're chatting with the kids. You're hearing from the kids who are playing in the game. Last year, I think there were 8 home runs hit in D.C. These kids are up there to showcase their skills, and it's in prime time this year, so everyone's got to tune in my opinion.
Greg, as you mentioned, I mean, this is a look at what the future of each and every organization looks like. When you look at the two representatives that the Cardinals are sending in, Nolan Gorman and Dylan Carlson, how are you feeling about their futures?
I love Gorman. I think this is a kid that's got all the stuff to be a middle-of-the-rotation type of guy. The Cardinals are always going to produce guys that have upside because of all the organizations that I cover, all 30. I'm supposed to love all 30 equally. We all know that I favor the Cardinals. you know, they toe the line of scout, draft, develop. And these are two guys that fall right into that category. I was actually surprised that there weren't more players from the Cardinals that were in the futures game because they have a lot of young guys that are putting up pretty good seasons in the minors. But these two are they're exactly what Cardinal baseball is used to. No one's super flashy. I don't think either one of these guys are going to be, you know, cornerstone players, but they're going to be significant contributors, and that's what you want on an annual basis for your organization, with the farm system to always produce consistent contributors. And there are clubs that have failed at that. The San Francisco Giants have gone like 4 or 5 years without a player that has been a regular guy, and that is the recipe for disaster. The Cardinals never fail in that category.
Tommy La Stella has the injury. He's out now up to 10 weeks. And Bob Nightingale had written, I believe yesterday or the day before, that he might get MVP consideration. Had this not happened to him, do you think that was really, truly likely?
Awful. Awful, man. I watched it last night, and it was terrible, man. This kid has bounced around, has done everything he could to be a regular in the box, be an everyday guy. And for him to foul a ball off his leg right before the All-Star game, nothing upsets me more than seeing that. This is a stage this Jersey kid has been waiting for. And to miss this much time, yeah, I mean, he was – the Angels are around a 500 team right now, and they're still within striking distance of the second AL wildcard. Tommy La Stella was the wingman to Mike Trout when there was no Justin Upton, when Shohei Ohtani wasn't around, when there was no one hitting in their lineup. Cole Calhoun was hitting 190. Tommy La Stella was the big breakout surprise player of the Angels. I couldn't stand to see it. That's the kind of stuff that drives me absolutely bonkers. But look, he's going to bounce back. I think the Angels know what they have in him. I think he's someone that's going to produce, be a guy. And Tommy La Stella, I've had a chance to interview him, and he's got an edge to him. When the Cubs sent him down, they DFA'd him. He didn't want to show up. He was like, well, I'm a big leaguer. So if you want to let me go, let me go. That's the kind of confidence that he has. And I hope he comes back soon. And I want to clarify, I got my prospects confused. There's a different Gorman. Nolan Gorman's the third baseman. The kid's 19 years old, right?
Right. Yeah.
That's a left-handed bat. I love this kid. This kid's swing is beautiful. I remember on draft night, I believe – it's like a couple of years ago. I think he was a top 20 pick by the Cardinals. This kid's legit. Harold Reynolds did a breakdown on this kid, I believe, on our draft night. And, yeah, pay attention. I don't even know if he's 21 years old, maybe 19, 20.
19.
I like the kid a lot. I think this is a kid that you could build around. I got a million prospects, so forgive me.
No problem. Speaking of prospects, what do you think the cost will be for Madison Bumgarner. There are so many teams in contention this year. Greg, I look back a couple of years ago to when last year, when the Cubs got Hamels, veteran guy having a down year, had had postseason success. Certainly not the success that Mad Bum has had in the past. But is the price for Mad Bum high or is it reasonable?
It's high, and the Giants don't want to trade him. What the San Francisco Giants want to do, they want to say, no one fulfilled our demands. We have to keep him. And they're going to try to sign him again. It makes no sense to me, but neither did offering Bryce Harper a monster contract. What was that about? Why were the San Francisco Giants in on Bryce Harper? But this team is a mess right now. Aging stars. They have no direction. Farhan Zaidi did not come over from the Dodgers. And then before that, the A's, to sign a guy for over $40 million a year, which was the AAV, because the contract was shorter term than what the Philadelphia Phillies offered, that makes no sense. Farhan would not do that. So ownership is still calling the shots, and they're the kind of group that believe that, you know, these old, and he's not old, Madison Bumgarner, I don't think he's 30 years old yet, but they're their stars. They're going to hold on to him forever because they think the fans come to see them play. I think that's nonsense. Fans come to see a winner. They want to see a team that's in the mix and winning. And I don't think the Giants are going to move Madison Bumgarner because they're going to come out and say, no one fulfilled our demands. Come on. The guy's a rental. He'll be a free agent. I don't know who is going to give him a monster contract because the analytics don't support him being a dominant pitcher anymore. He gets barreled up a lot. His K per nine isn't what it used to be. He's got deception, but he doesn't have velocity. I love the competitor. I think the New York Yankees should go get him, but they should not ask for three prospects for a rental Madison Bumgarner. It makes no sense to me.
What about if you're looking for a starting pitcher and maybe Bumgarner's not your guy, or maybe the Giants don't want to move him? How do you feel about Marcus Stroman if you're a team that's trying to make a push?
I like Marcus Stroman a lot. He's having a good year. ERA barely over 3. It's kind of the best we've seen of Marcus Stroman. He gets no run support. I think this kid's definitely getting traded. In the spring, he wanted an extension. The Blue Jays would have none of that, so he definitely wants out. It's not a rental. You're going to get him for next year as well. I don't know if they'll pull the trigger and trade him to the Yankees, which is the obvious fit, because they've got a lot of infield talent that we know, with Guerrero and Bichette, and then you got Biggio at second base. They're going to be good for a while. Tellez playing some first base. He's not even 25. They need an outfield bat, and Clint Frazier profiles as the perfect guy to go get if you're the Blue Jays, and that might be straight up because Frazier's already got 11 or 12 home runs in the big leagues. He's proven that he's a commodity. Stroman in New York would handle it. Obviously, he's a Long Island kid, so it's a perfect fit in that regard. But there are other farm systems that can offer slightly more than just one straight-up player. The Blue Jays need to get pitching, and the San Diego Padres are looking for a leader of their rotation because they're loaded with pitching in the farm system. And this is a team that they're kind of frustrated that they're not where they expected to be after signing Manny Machado. He fits the swagger that Machado and Tatis have in that clubhouse. I think he'd be a great fit with the San Diego Padres. And don't sleep on the Cincinnati Reds. I'm hearing the Reds are ready to strike at the deadline and try to make a major dent in a winnable NL Central division. That game last night with Yasiel Puig scoring on a ball rolling around the infield was the game of the night, in my opinion. That was so fun to see. This team's pretty exciting, and Stroman's going to be one of those three teams, in my opinion.
What do you think ends up happening with the Rays as far as where they play?
Great question. That's a great question. The Rays are going to do what we don't expect them to do. They're always that team. They're like Buck Showalter. They're the front office equivalent of what Buck Showalter is as a manager. You know, Buck Showalter is one of the smartest people in the game. He knows it, and everyone tells him that. So when it was blatantly obvious years and years ago to have Zach Britton come in the game in Toronto in the postseason, Buck doesn't like doing things that everyone expects him to do. So he left him in the bullpen, and he was going to be smarter than everybody and have Ubaldo a minute's pitch, and they lost the game. I think the Tampa Bay Rays have that kind of intellectual swagger in this sport. And they're going to do something that is maybe harebrained at the moment, but everything has pixie dust with this team. I don't know what is going on, but the Meadows and Glasnow trade, looking back, this could be one of the worst trades the Pirates have ever made. Archer's ERA is never going to be under 4. And you got a guy that's, when Glasnow comes back, is going to be your future ace or number 2 behind Blake Snell when he's right. And then you got a guy that's probably your best position player, pound for pound, Austin Meadows. I think the Rays will, they will not trade any of their young talent because they believe in depth. So they'll tinker, but they're not going to. Look, Charlie Morton's a historic signing, and look how much money he's making. It's not a $100 million pitcher, but that was a historic free agent signing for them. They're not going to make a gigantic splash, just a little tiny wave. That's it.
What you guys do at MLB Network during All-Star Week is incredible. We advise everybody to watch it. The Red Carpet Show, which you have helmed for many years, is always fantastic. And it's going to be fun watching you on Sunday. Looking forward to it.
You're going to like the outfit, Randy. I thought of you when I picked it out. That's all I'm saying.
All right. I will absolutely be paying attention, and I will text you the first time I see it.
Okay, sounds good, buddy.
All right, see you, my man. Take care.
Take care, guys.
That is Greg Amzinger, MLB Network, with us on 101 ESPN. Hey, we want to hear from you coming up. Apparently, Missourians eat 216 hot dogs a year on average.
That can't be right.
How many do you eat? Is it realistic? Is it crazy? Leave us a mic drop with the 101 ESPN app. How many hot dogs do you eat a year? Like, if you eat one a week, you're eating 52 a year. If you eat four a week, you're eating 208, right?
Yeah, good math.
Yeah. So four a week is what you're thinking if you're out. You're, if
and you're still
average.
In the under.
Yeah, right. It's amazing. So we want to hear from you. Are you one of those people that if I eat 20, you're eating 800 so that we can even things out?
We've had a few texts like that, too. So okay. I want to find out.
We want to hear from you next with the Mic Drop feature with the 101 ESPN app. You are next on 101 ESPN. Missourians eat 216 hot dogs per year on average, according to USA Today.
And apparently Illinois was even higher.
Yeah, over 400, right?
It's impressive.
Yeah, very impressive.
Not as impressive as West Virginia, but
it can't be right.
How many do you eat? That is our question today with the Mic Drop feature on the 101 ESPN app. And here's our first one.
I personally don't like hot dogs, but I do have a friend that loves hot dogs. Hello, hi, it's me, Mickey. I love hot dogs. I bet you do too, Brad. Oh, all right. Goodbye.
I wasn't expecting that. I got to be totally honest with you, but I'm happy that he called in and had Mickey as well. That was pretty solid.
I thought it was going to be Goofy.
Did you?
Yeah.
Maybe he'll leave another one with Goofy. You think he's got a bunch of different voices?
Oh, yeah. Probably.
I appreciate
and he probably
a good impersonation.
Does Mm-hmm. He probably does it while he's by himself.
Yeah, I can't even take Jeff Passan seriously anymore.
No.
After he did the Elmo. Mm-hmm. Like, it was, his Elmo was so spot on, talking about Manny Machado.
Great.
He wanted too much money.
How about this one from the text line 65780? I challenged my brother to eat at least one hot dog a day for 6 months, and the son of a gun did it. I had to buy him a PS2. 6 months, and that's a hot dog a day for 6 months. That's impressive.
That is a lot of hot dogs.
Yeah, but if there is a carrot, well, not a carrot, obviously, because it's a hot dog. But if there is a goal, like if there's something you're trying to achieve and attain, I could easily eat a hot dog a day for an entire year. If there was something that I really wanted at the end of it, like that I was told I was going to get. I don't know if you just do it without that, though.
Another texture, though, says two every day for lunch from Quick Trip.
Every day, though.
Yeah.
Like I could see doing it every now and then. Get a couple from the old QT. And somebody else also texted in that you can get like two hot dogs for $3 at pretty much any gas station. Yeah. So I could see people doing that occasionally. But you would have to do that in order to reach that number. You would have to do that every day for lunch.
Right. It would be incredible.
Every work day for lunch. That's what you'd have to do.
Here's our next mic drop.
Hey, this is in regards to the hot dogs that you guys were talking about a few minutes ago and where Missouri ranks. I can believe it. Just go to any Quick Trip any time of the day, and that's pretty much what you see coming out of there. Hot dogs and pizza.
Those are
good options
on a day. But here's the thing, though. Nobody's making you eat those. Nobody's making you eat the two hot dogs. I will say, though, it's a tremendous value. So if you're looking for, like, you're working all day long and you're looking for something to fill you up for the rest of the day, the two dogs will probably do that.
They will do it. But gas stations nowadays, they've got a lot of food options. It isn't just the crappy hot dog on the little spinner, you know? So I can't imagine everybody is leaving with hot dogs. Now, we said the number was 216.
Correct.
Per person per year.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know there is a National Hot Dog and Sausage Council?
I was aware of that.
Okay.
There's a hot dog council?
Yep.
National Hot Dog and Sausage Council.
Oh, okay.
They estimate 20 billion hot dogs a year, which works out to 70 hot dogs per person a year. I could see 70.
70 I can see.
But yeah, 216 is outrageous.
70 sounds very doable. I guess you go to barbecue.
I think it sounds logical.
Out.
Yeah. And that would make up for that person that eats 20 to get to 70, then that person would have to eat 160. I could see that.
Yeah, but the 216 is outrageous. Do you think that meat, well, first of all, we know he has difficulty reading. Do you think that maybe he, in his mind, saw the number he wanted to see? Like he says no.
Like the pizza thing?
600 slices of pizza a year?
No, he said that this is totally legit. Now, I definitely understand a lot of times you're not eating the hot dogs just due to the fact that, I just love hammering hot dogs all the time. They're affordable. Like, so it's an easy thing to be able to go to. By the way, it's a thing that kids eat a ton of. Mm-hmm. Kids are picky. My kids oftentimes will eat. My son's like, I want PB&J or a hot dog or pizza. Like, those are like three go-tos all the time. It's easy to do. It happens.
About PB&J and hot dog?
I don't know if we've tried that yet. We haven't thrown,
might be good.
Thrown that in there. No.
We tried the PB&J wings, and they were good.
They were good.
Here is our next mic drop.
So I think I got the math for the hot dogs. There are 75,000 fans that go to Kansas City Chiefs games. So 50,000 of them are Chiefs fans. And each one of those hogs, I mean fans, eats a package of hot dogs. That's 600,000 hot dogs there, not to include the rest of the people in the state.
Really do appreciate him doing that
quality
math right there. Yeah. Meat says he also disagrees with that one. He's holding up two sausage fingers. No, he says that that's two cases of hot dogs in a situation like that.
To be fair, at Arrowhead, they do real barbecue, not hot dogs. Like brisket, pulled pork.
To be fair, that's the fastest I've seen you run from that office to next door to their microphone.
But actually,
you want to get behind this.
Meat, the barbecue, the real barbecue, which you're absolutely right. Tailgating at Arrowhead Stadium is the best because everybody's grilling the best stuff. That's just their appetizer. So all those ribs and steaks and everything they're cooking in the parking lot, then they go inside, and then they have multiple hot dogs. Just so I think that guy's right.
Just waiting for all that stuff to cook?
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. I could see that.
Okay, here's our next mic drop.
I guarantee I eat at least four a week. At least four turkey dogs a week. I know I might be more than normal, but that average is correct. And when it's Dad's turn to cook, we're definitely a pack of hot dogs and macaroni and cheese. So if Dad had to cook more than once a week, we'd probably be at 400 hot dogs a year.
Wow.
Dad knows what he's good at, right?
Yeah.
You're good at the Kraft mac and cheese and the dogs. So, that ends up working for him.
I find it interesting, by the way, that the number one hot dog consuming city is L.A. You would think that it would be maybe a Northeastern. New York is second. Pittsburgh is third. Hmm. Chicago is fifth.
Yeah, it is a little bit surprising. Hey, that's a question, too. Are turkey dogs, is that make it way better
that
for you?
Totally, yeah.
Is that okay?
I'm guessing it's not
I don't know if I've ever
better.
Had a turkey dog. I'm a huge snob when it comes, not a snob, but when it comes to the hot dogs, I'm an all beef guy. So the you can save your dog that where the ingredients are turkey, beef, and pork. Mm-hmm. I don't want in. I want my all beef dog.
It's all lips and buttholes, you know.
That's fine, but as long as it's beef buttholes.
Here is another mic drop.
I can only eat stuff that I trust, that I actually know that there may be some quality ingredients in there. And there's a company I really think you need to try. It's called Dietz & Watson. I don't know if you've heard of that, but you definitely need to run out and get some of those and throw a few on the grill tomorrow. You definitely won't be disappointed. Dietz & Watson.
He must be talking
good.
About Dietz and watching natural casing beef franks, you know?
They got a good
paprika.
Snap, right?
Oh, yeah, like good old-fashioned snap. Yeah, you got to love those things.
I love that.
DietzandWatson.com.
We had a bunch of that last week.
Actually, we did. We had a ton of those things.
Delicious.
And maybe that skews something like that. So we did a random event. It was four hours is our radio show. And I honestly could have gone back had we not had a few commercials where we actually had to work. And I had two. So
I did two.
I could have done more.
I had one full one, and then they had brought us pieces of sausage. And, I had probably four or five of those pieces, which equaled a second dog.
Yep.
Very good.
It is interesting that in Missouri, we're middle of the pack, 25th 25th lowest in terms of hot dogs eaten, 15th highest in terms of hamburgers eaten, which is at 229. Wyoming eats the fewest hot dogs, by the way.
Do they really?
Yeah.
I wonder why. Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to dig into somebody from Wyoming. Text in 65780. Is there a food that you guys feel like you eat an abnormal amount of? Like, is there something that you just always have? I feel like my diet is fairly balanced.
Yeah, I can do crab legs. I can do a lot of that.
Yeah,
in one sitting. Yeah, I could do a ton of that. Ice cream, I can do a lot of.
So do you like right now in your freezer? Do you have ice cream at home?
No, but I'm saying, but if I did,
you know. I'm talking about like for a year. Like, do you just have something like all year long?
No. I thought you meant in one sitting.
You just eat a ton of.
I don't.
I don't think I do.
Nothing
either.
Out of the ordinary. No.
I'll have to think about it.
I do eat a lot of chicken, but I think a lot of people do.
Yeah. Here's another text to the text line 65780. I don't know any person who eats hot dogs 2 out of every 3 days.
See, I don't either. So. Except meat, do you?
No.
He got mad about that question.
I don't get this one, but I think meat might have written this. I pay rent once a month, so I eat a package of 8 that week for 12 months. Total 96 a year.
I see what they're saying. They're saying when it's rent time,
yeah,
you got to start, you know, tightening the belt a little bit, which is hard to do.
So that week,
with the irony of
hot dogs,
it. Yeah. But you spend less, so you eat hot dogs.
All right.
Yeah.
Anyways, I can't wait to see the competition tomorrow.
I can see who ends up coming.
That gets me a little bit grossed out, but I still like to see the pageantry of it.
So they're showing it. We've got it here on ESPN. Or is this the MLB? No, it's ESPN too. So they're showing it, and I am completely disgusted watching the hot dog eating contest when they put
it
in the water.
But the dogs look good until
they
the water
look great
dip.
Until they're just shoving them in their faces. It's really gross.
We should have an eating competition here. We've talked about this.
Not a bad idea.
I think we said that tacos were the thing that
we wanted
to go
absolutely.
After.
Yes, absolutely. A couple of other texts from the 314. This market isn't big enough to support both pork steaks and hot dogs.
That's, I guess, sort of true. Who was the hot dog guy we had on last year? It wasn't Chestnut, was it?
No. It was Jaws. No, Joey Jaws Chestnut. I forget his name.
We've had a few. We've had a few on. Who do we have? Gosh,
yeah, Juan,
darn it.
One more bite.
One more bite. That was his Twitter account. That's right.
Yeah.
He was funny about it.
I'm actually super intrigued by that. While watching it can be a little bit disgusting. These guys, and it is funny too when you watch them, and the men and women that are competitive eaters, a lot of them are skinny. Like, they're in great shape, and they train to do this, whether you believe it to be crazy or not. Hell, there are a lot of jobs out there that I think are crazy, but people do it because they make some money and enjoy doing so. There's a lot more that goes into it and just be a fatty McFatFat and eating a lot of hot dogs.
It is Juan More Bite Rodriguez. That's who we had on last year.
And he talked to us about it too.
That was the one I was here for. And he was, he talked a lot about getting ready for it. And that dude's in shape. Like, he's not a big boy. He's exactly what you're talking about.
Pretty incredible.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for the mic drops. Thanks for the text to the Hot Shots text line 65780 as you get ready for your 4th of July. Next up, revenge can be sweet after a bad relationship, but at least keep it legal, right? That's next before With All Due Respect on 101 ESPN.